We've got Natalie in the studio. Welcome.
Hello.
So we're here to talk careers with Natalie, who's our careers
person.
Fantastic expert.
Not hard to use the word expert.
Sorry, I did that on purpose because I know it's slightly triggering.
It's very triggering.
No, nobody wants to be called an expert because then everything.
Well, sort of summarizes that, you know. Well, not only that, but it summarizes that I know it all, and I think, you know, that's the part of being in any job. You don't know it all. You know what you know, and that means that, you know, you need to learn consistently.
So we hear there's been some layoffs coming from the government.
Yeah, major changes in the public sector.
Yeah, and we're going to try not to get into the politics of it.
No, we're just going to try to talk about that.
Yeah, the urge is strong, but we want to talk about redundancies, and you got some advice for. I don't imagine we actually have anyone in Raglan who works for the government that's
going to
be fired.
Oh, I don't know. I think you'd be quite surprised. There's lots of civil servants that work all over the country.
Well, they travel and they can Zoom now. So,
you know, we've got MBIE. We've got all of representative of, well, not all, but there are representatives of some of these ministries in Hamilton. So, yeah, I dare say there will be people directly affected. If not themselves, then they'll know someone that is within our community. Yeah. But don't forget, redundancies happen across the board at any time. You know, so prior to COVID, and I didn't look the statistic up, but prior to COVID, 1 in 4 New Zealanders had been made redundant. I think since COVID, that's probably increased. But I also think
Over the course of their lifetime?
Yeah, over the course of their working career, over their working life, yeah.
So that's different to being fired because you were bad at the job. This is just...
Yeah, because redundancy isn't performance. It's a business performance problem, right?
Although, I don't want to be depressing and say if the boss has to let someone go, they're going to let go their least desirable workers. Well, they might let go the most highly paid ones too, might they?
Well...
They're trying to save some cash.
Yeah, and obviously it's all done under the guidance of people who look at the numbers and things like that, one would assume. You know, if you're in a small business and you're having to make cuts, you're going to look at...
But for the government, I know what the government's going to be like. They're going to be like, that sounds woke, fire that crew. And I don't like the look of that.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of the government decisions that they're making behind this.
They'll be like, do they fix potholes? We'll keep them.
Does anyone fix potholes? No. Well,
somebody's going to. Well, actually, someone was telling me the other day, because National's been on about they're going to fix the potholes.
I know, right?
But apparently,
we've got a lovely new road service on the way to Hamilton, which is already
Apparently, the last government actually did that work. They just are so useless at self-promotion that no one found out about it.
Or is it just the fact that you don't necessarily need to say, hey, I fixed a pothole?
Yeah, if you're boasting about that, it's a low bar.
I don't know. Anyway, that's just a perspective. It's not a political comment. I'm not here to
let's get back to the redundancies. I don't know what the numbers are, but one of the concerns is that you've been put into the job market at the same time as a large amount of other people.
And potentially people that do similar jobs to you, right? But of course, Te Whatu Ora went through a huge restructure last year. It happens. Redundancy happens in employment all the time for the fact that, you know, they're having to look at the functionality of the business and make some cost cutting or restructuring or, you know, improvements, let's say, from the business perspective. Because I think it's really important to understand that redundancy is a business decision. And that's the hardest thing, right? The job is made redundant. Not the individual.
Yeah.
Right?
So
the individual's skills, capabilities, they are all still valuable. They're just unfortunately not able to be used in that organisation any longer, or should we say in that position any longer, because there is a sort of process that's followed with redundancy, and you can find this information for yourself. You can go on to, you can just literally type in redundancy to, you know, whatever search engine you use, or you can go to employment.govt, and there's a whole section to give yourself information. And I think if you are one of the people or you're around people that are going to be experiencing these changes, start there. Like, what does it actually look like? What is the process? How can we do it? And what support am I able to receive during this time of change? Because...
And what you're entitled to as well?
Well, again, I think...
Is there contractual entitlements?
Yeah, there's contractual entitlements. But of course, you know, these are also propositions that are offered as a form of redundancy package. You know, what is the organisation offering you, and what does your contract say that they have to offer you?
Yeah, so not
everyone.
Because
if you've
only
been in an organisation for 6 months, say, and this has happened, I've worked with people who literally took a job 6 months later, they were made redundant. I've worked with somebody within this year who's been made redundant 3 times. That's from every job she's had in the last 4 years.
It's been a topsy-turvy 4 years.
It has been a very topsy-turvy 4 years. So lots of change. And, you know, they're able, I think they feel now like they're able to navigate these changes.
They're getting good at it.
Income insecurity is a horrible pressure.
Yeah.
It's a horrible pressure to be happening. And so start with, you know, that I think a great way to start and approach the problem of redundancy is that temperature check. Where am I? What am I doing? How am I responding to this?
I have a question, miss.
Oh, yeah,
I've just put my hand up. So a redundancy in my head, because I've never had it happen to me.
I've been made redundant twice.
So you get paid a lump sum to tide you over.
Not necessarily.
No. But I imagine that the government workers probably are on a contract where they get...
But it all depends.
I just wanted to go slightly political and say, okay, they're firing all these people to save money, but if there's like mass payments to go with them, it's not such a great saving.
So you're on that thing where you're taking what we're talking about, the individual, and you're looking at it from that massive economic spectrum.
And what we're going to do is bring it back in. I just want a little side detour. I just wanted to make that note, but you're right to come back to.
You know, the reality is obviously that what you're talking about would have been calculated in the entire process of.
Oh, you think so?
Well, one would hope so.
And we're getting political again. But back to the, because
you know, these decisions do have a litigious aspect to them. You know, so they have to be have to follow due process. Right?
Yeah, due process will have been followed.
And so for you as the individual who may be supporting somebody who's going through redundancy or whose, you know, your position is being made redundant, go and check and see what that due process is. Get your contract out. Have a look at something like, you know, employment.govt, the redundancy section, and just arm yourself with information in the sense of, now I know, I'm better informed, I can maybe ask better questions. There is a process. So they are supposed to sort of release redundancy information and then talk about options with individuals before the decision is made of what the restructure will look like, what positions will go.
And sometimes a union will be involved, but in some places I imagine there isn't. Like if it's the private sector, there may not be a union.
Well, no, you've got PSA on the private sector, so a lot of ministry workers will be members of PSA.
But they're still working for the government. If you work for a private company, it's not necessarily a union.
Not necessarily, no. Yeah. But, you know, there are unions and manufacturers... can't remember the full name, but there are unions you can join as a worker from different sectors. But
can you join after you've been told you're about to be made redundant?
You'd have to check. I don't suppose you can't. I don't see a reason why not. But I don't suppose that membership. I don't know. You'd have to check. That's a really good question. But yeah, I mean, I feel like if you
because you're suddenly
support,
like, oh, now I need a union.
Yeah, but again, it might be that so. You know, I've worked with people in the healthcare sector before that were going through a big redundancy because the facility that they were working from was closing down. And so some of those were union members. Everybody was involved in the conversation, and then the union members would break off and have a separate conversation post.
Right.
But, you know, they're all there together. Your colleagues are still your colleagues. Mm. And, yeah, so for me, I think, you know, when supporting people going through this situation, I always say to them, just check in. This is big, and everybody's going to react differently. For some people, it's a catastrophic event. You know, they've no, and it's huge. For others, they go, no worries. But I think that's whatever. And who those people are can be quite surprising. You know, but everybody gets there in the end because you're forced to make decisions about what you're going to do next.
Are we ready to have the conversation that a crisis is also an opportunity?
Well, I suppose that's that point. But, you know, when you look at that, that is the person that may be supporting you is understanding what it means to be going through these kinds of changes, right? And, you know, there's lots of different change management theories that we could get into, but that's not why we're here. So it's always about just checking, like, where am I in? You're moving into this massive change. And where am I? What do I do? How am I feeling about it? And with that in mind, what can I do with those feelings? Am I angry at my position? You know, am I like, woohoo, I've been, yes, I hated that job anyway kind of thing? Or am I like, oh my gosh, this has so deeply affected me. I feel like my entire confidence is eroded and I really just don't know where to start.
So your experience as a careers specialist advisor development person.
Do you want to talk about that briefly? Because I think it's worth noting.
You've had all those people across the desk.
Yeah, 100%. So I worked in what they call outplacement, which is the sort of term that is used to work with people. So EAP services, I'm sure lots of you, employee assistance programs, lots of you would have seen these posters around your workplaces. Maybe you've used those services yourself. So I've contracted to one of those for, 8, 9 years okay. now, maybe yep. a little longer. Yep. But the reality is career practitioners deal with people making changes. So irrespective of where we've maybe developed those skills or, you know, been had the opportunity to work with people, speaking with somebody like me can help in this moment, because there's lots of different ways that we respond. But in the experiences I've had, that a lot of people will turn specifically to, right, I'm just going to start applying for jobs, get dust the old CV off, you know, start banging it out.
Yeah.
And it's kind of understanding that current job market. Where are we? What do we do? What does a CV look like from the last time I applied for my, what does my CV look like? But that's a tool. And that's what I'm trying to get at with here. You know, it's a great place to start looking at the tools and resources you have available to you. But how are you going to use them and what are you going to use them for? Right. And that's that part where we take it back a couple of steps and just check in with people, you know, figure out like actually what is it that you want to do? Because, hey, maybe you've worked for this organization for the last 10, 15, 20 years and you're kind of at the point where you're going, actually, maybe I want to change. And maybe this this forced transition is something that I can use to explore the other options. My one piece of advice is don't wait. You know, time moves very quickly. And when we're in the middle of something as traumatic and turbulent as redundancies, because also sat behind all of this information, we've got this, you know, we've got news stations talking about it. We've got newspapers talking about it. So it's everywhere for the people going through this.
Yeah, you can't avoid it.
No, you can't avoid it. So I think it's really important to check in, see where you are. We've got lots and lots of resources with, specifically in our community. You can get counselling from the doctors. You can speak to people up at the community house. If you can't access that, Just a Thought. That's a website you can just tap in, Just a Thought, which is an online kind of support programs, courses, they call them on there, that you can use. So that's a really great place to start. But so you have a question. Oh my goodness.
The question was, what's the best CV making site?
Ah, don't use them. No.
Asking for a friend.
Okay, the best CV site is just a plain document. We can get into why in the beginning, but I'm not a huge fan of templates. I'm a huge fan of formats, which are quite different. But my whole idea is get the information down and get it to look good. Right?
But you might because need something you
are,
just to refer to.
When you are using these tools, you have to understand that there is a series behind them. If you want information on how to write a CV and the content of that CV, hop on to Careers NZ. If you've never done a CV before, use the CV Builder, right? And the next stage thing that you're going to do is call 0800 222 733 and speak with a career practitioner who will help you to refine that document. There should be certain sections.
That's free.
Yeah. So again, this is this project that so far, you know.
Yeah.
But yep, the Direct Career Services. So anybody experiencing this, wanting to support somebody, go to Careers NZ. With regards to CVs, CVs are tools. They are tools for specific purposes to answer the questions that sit inside a job advert. Right. So there's parts of everybody's CV that aren't going to change. Who you worked for, what you did for them, what your education was, maybe what you've been involved in your voluntary work. Those things don't change. So if you're going to write a CV, start there. Yeah.
So these CV websites, I've never been to one. Are they like you just type in the information and it formats and spits everything
out?
They're
absolutely brilliant. Right. But they come, you know.
But you're on a runaway train a little bit.
Well, a lot of people, again, I meet these people, they put the information in and they'll say, oh, here's a copy of your CV. Now it's going to cost you $10 or $20 or $30 to download the copy.
Yeah.
So the reality is anybody with a Gmail account, use your Google Docs and just start to get the information down. Record who you have worked for, what you've done for them, what training and education
you might want to see
completed.
An example CV
yeah,
or something.
Okay.
Although you see the CV Builder thingy.
Yeah, CV Builder will guide you through that and actually put together a format
for you. And that's on the government site.
It is a government site. The only problem with that is it sets things out in tables. And this is where we come to this whole template situation that you can – tables are great, but tables can't necessarily be read by ATS systems. This is a whole different conversation. ATS systems, applicant tracker systems that are used to help the recruitment process, to streamline the recruitment process.
Right.
So some ATS systems, and you'll notice this in job adverts, that some of them have actually started to say that our applications are run through this platform or that platform, right?
So is this because so many people can now apply because everything is online that they need a system to cope with all of it?
It's the use of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, too many people are applying, so you've got to have...
Well, not too many people. I mean, it's always been a competitive job market. But if you go onto TradeMe, it tells you how many people look at a job advert, for example, right? And that can be... That's pretty intimidating.
That can be demoralizing, I'm sure.
100%. So take 10%. I mean, maybe that's 120 people applying for this job.
Because people just checked it out and said, oh, not me, and moved on. Yeah,
but you don't know that. Mm. So the idea is, oh, okay, so I'm going to put together this really amazing document that's going to look beautiful. Mm. But that might not actually be read by a human until it's... Well, it won't be. Until it's passed through an applicant tracker system. And then the applicant tracker system will help with the selection of the candidates based on the score that it generates. That's callous, but it's a recruitment process. So when I talk about CV formatting, you need to make sure that the content of your document is reflective of your capability to do the job. You are answering the advert, right? And in the job advert, it will come up with a ideal candidate criteria. And so literally within your CV, you need to have a section that speaks to the ideal candidate criteria. That's a heading. It might be that you have to, you know, manage a diverse portfolio or have examples of your ability to do whatever job it is. And so you answer that in a section that's called your skills profile. We can go further and further and further into how detailed that needs to be.
But it's looking either for keywords or key phrases 100%. Or sentences.
Yep, numbers. That match your criteria. It's really important for you to have dates on your CV.
So you can't impress them with your charisma.
Well, you kind of can because that's obviously your professional profile.
Okay.
So remember, applications are an example of who you are as a worker and how you go about your job. So we are literally talking about the skills and capabilities that you bring with you as a human being. So often you'll see things on CVs like, you know, a personal statement. It isn't a personal statement. Your soft skills will get you the job and the job interview. Your hard skills and your capabilities will get you selected for the job interview. So it's really important, in my opinion, to express exactly what you are as a worker and the skills and qualities that you example. I'm going to be like ad-libbing because we've kind of but you know, you might open up with your professional statement that states your years of experience in the profession. You know, you've been a project coordinator, you've been I don't know what it might be, but you might hold these qualifications. And then we can describe a set of soft skills, such as, you know, oh gosh, now I really am ad-libbing. I wish I'd had a coffee, not a chai latte.
I'm good with people.
Well, yeah, but you've got to get a little bit more than that. But yeah,
I'm good, kind of thing. I'm good at
And then the skills profile talks specifically about performance and what it is that you've done. Anywhere in a document, any document, if you can include numbers, great. But there's tricks to all of it. So that's why I believe that you should come and speak to a career practitioner to help you review that information.
That's
and if you want
profoundly
to speak to me,
different
can...
from when I last wrote a CV.
Which is a long time ago.
I
love the fact that Aaron's like, you know what we should do is we should do like an example CV for you so we can get it and people can have a look. But
for me,
seriously, if you are in the...
what job am I applying for?
If you need support with applications... Then contact the Direct Career Service because that's what we do. That's our job. And the format I talk about, which is really difficult for people to understand because obviously you haven't got an image. You know, there isn't something that you can sit in front of. You know, we're showing them, should I say. Is a format that we've used in applications for a long time. And I mean, Houses of Parliament. I've worked with members of, you know, not this election, but the last election, who were going through the recruitment process. I've worked with individuals working and making applications, successful applications, to departments of internal affairs, for example.
So the photo on the front's not a big deal. Like the last time I made a CV was must have been 20 years ago.
Unless obviously your job depends on the way you look. But no, because we're going into personal bias. Like what does this image look like? Does it reproduce particularly well?
I mean, if you're a TV presenter, you're going to put your image.
Well, possibly, but
the computer reading the CVs doesn't care about what you look.
The ATS system isn't going to pick up on a picture. And that's why when you start to use highly edited, designed CVs, which are great, you must include, you know, a text-rich document because it's a picture and an ATS system doesn't look at pictures.
Can you do it like a website and have SEO in the background? So all the keywords are in the background so the search function can pick it up?
ATS systems actually really like, some ATS systems really like websites. So, for example, if you... are making an application and, I don't know, you've worked for somebody and you can link their website on your CV.
Yeah.
And that can help with ATS systems.
So it can find its
way
there.
If you're really concerned about what you need to do with the CV, contact me. But there's this really great platform that does works for you as a job seeker. It's called JobScan. And it's actually an ATS system that you can use to compare apples for apples. So you actually scan in the job advert and then you can scan in your CV and it'll give you a score and it'll help you to understand that process. The trick, and again, people go, okay, I'm just going to use ChatGPT. Cool. use it as a foundation and then start to really include that information. And what else can I tell them? Yeah. Why am I applying for this
it's
job?
It's better for brainstorming than final stuff.
Well,
I think,
you know, just get you going, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
sometimes we don't actually have the words to put them. And certainly when we're under stress or we're under pressures, you know, there's all that different stuff going on in our bodies, not thinking with, you know. If you struggle to put together information because you don't like talking about yourself,
get over it. Is that the advice? Just harden up.
Tricks for getting over it.
Okay.
I actually take people's names off CVs, so when they're like, really, I can't, you know, just take the name off, and so you're just dealing with data. You're dealing with data. This is not. This is it personal to you as a job seeker?
Right.
But this is an activity. It's an action.
So imagine
it's very
imagine,
important to you. You have to be somewhat removed from.
Yeah.
We know the reasons you're applying for this job. But you're telling them the facts behind why you are the candidate
so
they need to
you're
select.
Distancing yourself from it's like imagining that
from the emotion as much as you possibly can. That's why if you are going through a redundancy and you're experiencing extreme emotional response, or maybe you're experiencing no emotional response and that's a little concerning too to you, go and speak to somebody. You know, get some understanding of what's happening for you as the individual and then start to look at this as a process. What do I need to do? Do I need to decide who I want to work for and what that might look like? And maybe go through some clarity exercises with somebody.
Well, let's talk about the fact that it could be a stepping off point to something completely 100%,
new. 100%.
And that's part of what you as a careers advisor, development specialist person.
Yep. So that's something that we do as well. So, you know, there's lots of different ways of approaching this situation. But I always say to people, what do you want to do next? And often they'll say, oh, well, I'm just going to apply for blah, 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 because that's what I want. And I know. And then other people will be like, I have no idea. And in fact, I'm finding it really debilitating to actually think about this, which means that the time pressure is starting to creep up and the whole thing is becoming a massive burden. So breaking it down, you know, figuring out what next. And there's lots of ways you can do that. Again, speaking to a career practitioner is a really great place to start. You know, the idea is that change management is our forte. That's what we do every day. Every day we help people manage the transitions that they're making. So I can't stress the value enough of something like the Direct Career Service at a time like this or any time that you're wanting to make changes to your career. It's free. It's a national program. These are highly skilled, competent individuals. So, you know, get on board, as it were. But back to CVs or back to redundancies?
But it's the process of the redundancy. Like we've dealt with the fact that it's emotionally triggering for almost everybody, that you need to talk to someone.
Yeah, and then you need apply a strategy.
But so, I am intrigued in getting into the, should we call it blue sky thinking? Like this is an opportunity.
Hmm.
And something really awesome could come out of it, and you might look back one day and go, the redundancy was the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm now doing something I love so much better.
Or maybe you were doing something you loved before you were made redundant.
But this is the moment. This is the moment to take advantage of as well.
Yeah,
you've also got the time. You've also got the time. If you're not working, you've got the time to think about what you want to do.
Yeah, but you know you're not working, so then you have an extra burden of, oh my goodness, this is all of a sudden a financial stress, right? And if you've only been,
but still make the most of.
Yeah, I think
what's
so. In how you can do that. So again, applying that strategic kind of approach to your job search is the next stage. Checking in, you know, trying to figure out maybe what that means to you for your next role, and then applying a very strategic approach to how you're going to look for a job, what resources you're going to do to help you, you're going to need to help you do that, and again, being kind of purposeful about the applications that you're wanting to make, then that's where we're starting to talk about the CV and application process.
Getting people to look at different industries and professions that they had that they don't actually think that they could do, but that's as part of your skill is to say what are your interests and hobbies, and what are the underlying skills, like all the stuff that we're not immediately conscious of.
That's exactly right.
Like what could I do with my job currently? where could you take me?
Well, interior design, because if you haven't been into the studio lately. But I often, so there's a really great tool you can use on that actually sort of refers a little bit to what you're talking about. It's called Career Clusters, and you can check it out online. And you'll find, if you just Google Career Clusters, you'll get lots of different results. But we're looking for one. It's got four different colors. Yeah, you'll know. Yeah. It's an Australian tool, and they talk about what Aaron was referring to there about the idea that we might actually have a job that we've developed and demonstrated skill, you know, in a particular sector, but that job could actually be utilized in all the different sectors. So, you know, why limit ourselves to looking in just one sector? But Career Clusters is a really great place to have a look.
Okay.
At, and you can just complete the adult check. They do one for our young people as well. But yeah, that's a really great place to look. So my whole idea is, if this is happening, you know, prioritize yourself and prioritize what the job search and the job strategy is going to be for you, because it affects people differently. It can be an incredibly rewarding experience, but it can also be an incredibly damaging experience. And again, I've, you know, my work has led me to understand what that can really mean for other people, and it's hard.
And so you are currently working for a government service that helps people, which so far hasn't been made redundant. So you can help the other government workers who've been made redundant. Yeah. So how do people get in touch? And even if they're not a government worker that's been made redundant,
if you
just
want to
anybody.
Follow on anything that I've said this morning, you can contact me directly at natalie@careertree.co.nz.
Yes.
You can go through. And I'm able to sort of enroll, there's no enrollment, but I can work with you through this program. I can generate client customers from anywhere. If you don't want to talk to me, Carpi, 0800, oh man, I do this every time.
0800-333?
No, it's not. 0800-7, go on, get it on the website situation.
Okay, what's it
0800-777-233, I think. It's Direct Career Services. Google it. Oh my goodness, Google it.
I am. I'm typing fast.
I always forget this number because we got it changed halfway through, and it's just there. It is. Yep.
Where?
That's it. You've got your cursor on it. Yep.
Click on it. Okay.
This is scroll down. There it is. 0800-222-733. 0800-222-733. Remember that, Natalie. Okay.
Or look up.
Get free career advice, or go on to Careers NZ. Careers NZ. That's that website you're on.
That says careers.govt.nz.
Yeah, but if you just Google Careers NZ, it comes
up. It'll go there.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. There's so many options, folks.
But if you click on there, you've got heaps of resources, starting off with the CV builder. Once you have put your information in, contact a career development professional to help you reformat it, because I'm not a fan, but that's whatever. And then on that page, you will also find the link to free career advice. If you want to contact me directly, natalie@careertree.co.nz.
Okay. Thank you for coming in, Natalie.
That's okay. Thank you.
And if you're interested in starting a career in writing, our next interview might be of interest to you as well.